You are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, it is officially our final show of the year, and you can trust me when I tell you it will not disappoint. We are going to break down all the biggest news and sightings going on in the world of pro wrestling going into the new year. Oh yeah, and by the way, we have an announcement that might even put Tony Khan to shame. So sit back, relax, stay tuned, and let's celebrate the year 2023 with episode number 363. And the nominees are exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, and it starts right now. Hey everybody, it is the last show of the year and I am riding solo. So hey folks, it is me, King Ricky Rose, your host here of Wrestle Addict Radio and your host of Kings of the Rings podcast, my apologies, and general manager of Wrestle Addict Radio. Sometimes they interchange. Thank you guys for joining me on this final episode for Kings of the Rings podcast here. If you like what you're listening to or what you're seeing, wherever you are watching us on YouTube or listening to us on your favorite podcast listening app, please like, share, subscribe, leave us a good review if you can. The links to all of our stuff, including some of our great merchandise, are in the description below. As I previously just said, it is going to be just me. It is a solo show to end out the year, which I guess is kind of apropos looking at my own personal life. Will Tarashak cannot make it. Willie T, the second host of the show, he is out doing Christmassy things with his significant other. And Kayfabe is still kind of on hiatus, so it's just going to be me, and we are going to talk about a lot of cool things. So I promise you guys a pretty big announcement, and we've already kind of leaked it. On Monday, we leaked it on Tuesday when we were able to, but here's how the story goes. So a couple of months ago, we were contacted, the Wrestle Addict Radio as a whole, was contacted by the Sports Podcast Awards and the Sports Industry Group. And I did some research on them, and it's a collective group of some of the biggest sports podcast media personalities in the world. We're talking like people from Sky Sports, Spotify, ESPN, The Athletic, just to name a few. And they've come together in sort of like a coalition with the Sports Industry Group to create the Sports Podcast Awards and highlight the best in all of sports podcasting that has to offer. It's called the Sports Sports Podcast Awards. It has been going on for since about, I think, post-pandemic, around 2021 or 2020 was the first one. Do not quote me on that. And for the first time this year, they decided to do a best wrestling podcast category. So we were contacted by them via Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. And they said, hey, you guys should probably, you know, look into, you know, submitting an application to possibly be nominated. And so I submitted I submitted Kings of the Rings podcast for nomination into the best wrestling podcast category. And I am happy to say that as of December 19th, Kings of the Rings podcast is officially a finalist in the Sports Podcast Awards for the category of best wrestling podcast. It is quite the honor, quite the news to start out my week with. Very excited. I'll be completely honest with you. I did not believe, but I wasn't completely sure if we were even going to get looked at. There are a lot of other wrestling podcasts out there. So to be featured, or to be selected as a finalist for this category and for this world, specifically in the world of pro wrestling podcasts, where there are so many great wrestling podcasts out there, to be selected as a finalist by a group of people who are pretty big names in the podcasting world and in the sports podcasting world, to be selected as a finalist is an amazing honor. I cannot thank the Sports Podcast Awards and the Sports Industry Group enough for selecting us. I also, you know, obviously want to thank my co-host, Will Tarasok, Willie T, and Kayfabe, and everybody else who has supported us throughout these years. We've been almost doing this for almost a decade at this point, which is kind of crazy to believe. Almost a decade. It's getting close. Where we were literally like when I first got on, we were sharing one microphone. Now we're kind of real production. We're on YouTube. We got a pretty decent following all across social media. We have fans literally all across the world. We interact with people all across the world. So to be recognized is an absolute honor, and all wouldn't be possible without a lot of you guys tuning in and supporting us throughout our time as a podcast. So I want to thank everybody for all of your support and for all of your enthusiasm, especially when this announcement became live. And so now that we're named a finalist, voting is now open in the Sports Podcast Awards category for Best Wrestling Podcast. Voting will be open from now until about the end of January. I think before the Rumble or right around the Rumble is when the closing will end. So please go out. The link to this will be in our description of the show. The link will be on the bottom. It's going to be the first link you see to vote for us in the category of Best Wrestling Podcast in the Sports Podcast Awards. So once again, folks, Kings of the Rings podcast has been selected as a finalist for Best Wrestling Podcast in the Sports Podcast Awards that is created by the Sports Industry Group. If you would like to vote for us, please click the link in our bio, click the link down below in the description, and show your support for us. And hopefully, with enough support throughout this next month, we will be selected. But it is also an absolute honor to be selected as a finalist with so many other amazing wrestling podcasts that have been selected as well. So it is a great honor. It's a great way to end the year for us to be recognized on such a more national and sometimes even global level as a quality podcast. It really does solidify that what we're doing, what we're talking about, how we're doing this is a good thing. And that we're being recognized for all of our effort and hard work and our consistency throughout the years. So once again, thank you. And this is something we're gonna continue to push until voting is closed. Maybe we'll do some perks. I've thought about it. Maybe we'll do some perks for people who do who do say that they voted for us. So we'll see what happens. I'm gonna think about it, but maybe we'll do something for you guys. Get you guys some merch or give you a discount on merch. It's my first thought, but we'll see what occurs from that. But moving on into the world of wrestling, and unfortunately, AEW is losing one of their top stars and one of her EVPs. Kenny Omega released this picture that you see if you're watching the video here on social media, but he has been in the hospital and he is going to be out indefinitely. Now, if I remember correctly, and somebody can correct me in the comments when you're listening to this or when you're watching this, I believe Kenny Omega has gotten a bout of diverticulitis, which is very dangerous, and if not treated swiftly and efficiently, it can be really, really fatal, okay? It can be absolutely fatal for anybody who succumbs to it and does not get it treated. So props to Kenny Omega for getting that treated, and honestly, take all the time you need. If anybody remembers the career of Brock Lesnar going to the UFC, or even leaving UFC, it was because of diverticulitis, and Brock did almost have a fatality happen to him if he had not gotten it treated. And that's kind of one of the reasons he returned to WWE in general. So hopefully Kenny's prognosis is good He's going to take his time off, and he's going to adjust to this new way of living. I really don't know the specifics of what could happen with diverticulitis or what you need to do to get diverticulitis taken care of, but it looks like he's on the road to getting that taken care of, and he can have a resurgence. I mean, Brock's had a resurgence for what, almost the last 8-10 years now, post-diverticulitis procedures, and I Kenny will probably do the same. How he does that and what he does with that remains to be seen. With that being said, the injury bug has also unfortunately hit the queen of WWE, Charlotte Flair, at the Tribute to the Troops show a couple weeks ago on SmackDown. Charlotte suffered a pretty bad injury during a superplex. It has been revealed that Charlotte Flair suffered a torn ACL, MCL, and meniscus. I don't know how, if it's partial tears, if it's full tears, or complete tears, but ACL, MCL, meniscus was injured, or they were torn in some way, shape, or form. And WWE officially announced that she is out approximately 9 months. Pretty much her 2024 is not going to be a thing. She misses WrestleMania. She misses the Rumble. More than likely, she's missing SummerSlam, all of the international events that they're going to have. Obviously, you have Backlash. You have Bash in Berlin. You also have Elimination Chamber, Australia, France, Germany. She's going to miss all of those shows. She may not be back until probably September at the earliest, I'm assuming. And honestly, for me and me only, this is a blow. I think Charlotte was on a pretty decent path herself. When you think about going into the fall, her returning, going into War Games, her and Becky kind of mending the fences, which is kind of a real thing. And it seemed like she was on her way into something big. We all know what she did with, sorry about that. we all know what Charlotte did with minimal storyline booking in a WrestleMania match with Rhea Ripley, one of the greatest matches in the history of WrestleMania, gender notwithstanding. And there was, I think for me, there was a little bit of a hope that maybe we would get Rhea Charlotte 3 at this point. Because remember, they faced off twice at WrestleMania, one during the pandemic WrestleMania and the Performance Center, the other one this past year in Los Angeles. And, they're squared off 1-1. You know, you could have done a third bout, you know, a payoff bout, but that's not going to be possible this year in and of itself. Obviously, we're going to wish Charlotte a speedy recovery. And now there's kind of a hole to fill in that, because Charlotte is like kind of a standard bearer, or she called herself the Opportunity for a very, very long time. And she's kind of the measuring stick for all the other women. Now you don't have the measuring stick anymore. Obviously, you have Rhea, and Rhea doesn't really have any competition right now. She's gallivanting around as pretty much the leader of Judgment Day. We don't know what's going to happen with Bayley just yet. It looks like it's a slow burn to Bayley returning to a face gimmick. We're not exactly sure just yet what's going on with that. And for me, this is just me speculating at best right now with the whole Charlotte Flair situation at the moment. I believe this makes the case a better case for right now, with such a hole to fill, such a superstar void in the women's division. This would be a great case for Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks. Again, take this with a grain of salt, because everybody knows I'm a Mercedes super fan. This would be a great case for her to come back and fill that void that Charlotte's left. I mean, Becky's going to do her thing with Nia, and she's continuing to do her thing with Nia. But with 9 months away and Charlotte on SmackDown, Becky's on Raw, obviously, you can say what you want about brand splits and roster stuff. They've been pretty consistent for most of their top talent, that they do not cross over to shows, except for special events like Tribute to the Troops, and sometimes, you know, you have your mega show leading, going around a major PLE or something like that. Otherwise, they are pretty separate. But with Charlotte gone, that leaves a void in SmackDown, and having Mercedes when they return and being coming straight to the SmackDown brand would be awesome. Would be absolutely perfect, I think, to fill that void until Charlotte returns. There's rumors that Mercedes isn't under contract. She's fielding offers. It is very, very possible that she could return to the States, or she can re-sign with New Japan. Who knows? Her value, we talked about this last week, her value is high. She's going to get more money. She deserves more money than what she was originally getting. It's just a matter of where she's going to go and where she feels comfortable. That being said, you know, obviously, speedy recovery to Charlotte, who was just coming back from a pretty long hiatus in the first place, and now she's back on the sideline, foreseeably till for the better part of 2024, and it is a shame. Because she will be missed for WrestleMania 40, but I feel like there will be a suitable replacement for Charlotte. Who that person is going to be, or who's going to step up, is going to be determined, and we'll probably find that out by the Rumble or at the latest Elimination Chamber. So speed of recovery to Charlotte. But that's all. But all's not bad in WWE, because apparently AJ Styles has gone back to the gym as well. He went on the Randy Orton, apparently, recovery route and came back jacked as all hell. I don't think I've seen AJ Styles this big or this cut maybe ever. And I'm like, even going back to like short haired Styles from the TNA Impact days, AJ Styles is disgustingly huge. And I don't know why. I'll tell you this right now. I don't know why, and I don't understand how I did not notice AJ Styles was wearing all black, which should have been the clear indicator that he was turning on somebody, and also happened to be turning on one of the hottest babyfaces on SmackDown, LA Knight. What does that mean for VOC and for Meech and Mia Yim? Is AJ going to be riding on his own and saying, screw those guys? I don't know. But I like it. I've always liked heel AJ. I was a big fan of heel AJ when he went up against Cena during the SummerSlam run, to beat up John Cena. Heel AJ, he's great. SmackDown has got a lot of great talent that's going to ride that ship. You got Randy's back, AJ's back, LA Knight. SmackDown's a hard place that people are going to be able to get time on. You're going to be able to get more time on Raw than any place else. But now having AJ in the picture, along with Roman, along with Randy, along with LA Knight, there is a lot of stuff you can do with those four guys alone in your you know, the top of the card type place. Even though LA Knight's not necessarily top of the card just yet, but there's a lot you can do with that. I still say LA Knight goes back to that upper mid and works in the U.S. title scene. I don't know what he does with that, because you have Carmelo Hayes, who had a great showing in the U.S. title tournament as the NXT talent, going there. And I, you know, Carmelo Hayes versus Logan Paul, surefire classic. I don't know what you do with this, but I'm interested to see what they do with LA Knight, what they do with Randy Orton, what they do with a returning heel AJ Styles. There is so many possibilities now, and all of this is going into Royal Rumble / WrestleMania season, which is exactly what you want to be. You want to have all these opportunities and possibilities where you can pivot and go different places, and that is exactly what they're doing here. So welcome back, AJ Styles. He's going to be missed, and it's going to be a ton of fun. Speaking of tons of fun, we actually have, for like the second week in a row, TNA news or Impact news, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's reverting. TNA or Impact is reverting back to TNA at the beginning of next year. So it's safe to call it TNA. I know last week, we discussed that TNA was getting its own streaming service with an Endeavor streaming thing, which is not the Endeavor that is owned by that owns WWE. Thank you, Will Tarasok, for confirming that. But this this news is even more interesting. Not only is TNA getting a streaming service, TNA is also is partnering with Powertown, a company that's going to help them make TNA action figures for all of their performers. And that's always going to be a good thing because obviously the performers will get obviously some royalties from the selling of those figures. The wrestling action figure community is substantial and really, really big. And so it's going to be good for them. I'm going to be interested to see what these figures look like. I know when AEW announced they were doing wrestling figures, wasn't the biggest fan of them. Obviously, I still think WWE probably has the best looking figures in all of the major companies. But this is just a massive win for TNA. They got a streaming service now. We're getting action figures. They are promoting pretty hard. They're promoting really, really hard. I think it's Hard to Kill and something else on like the second weekend in January of 2024. TNA does a unique thing where I think this might be just the Hard to Kill weekend where they do like a special on Saturday and a special on Sunday. It's like a two-parter thing. And it's not even like their WrestleMania because that's usually Bound for Glory. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not the expert on TNA. I'll leave that to Nate and the Brace for Impact podcast for that one. However, TNA always fascinates me. I've said this before historically in previous shows. They are like the cockroach that like never dies. They're like the cockroach that survives the apocalypse. They somehow find a way to stay relevant, to stay in the know. And with this double special, this Hard to Kill weekend that they're going to do, they said they have some sort of major announcement or someone big is showing up in particular. I have no idea who it is. It could be Mercedes Moné, very viable option. It could be Okada, but Okada's already been announced for TNA or doing a little mini TNA run. So it could be anybody. Someone said it was AJ Styles, but I don't think so. I think AJ is going to be strictly and exclusively to WWE for the foreseeable future. I don't think he'll make an appearance. So I'm very interested to see what TNA does. With all this being said, it is almost, it looks like TNA is going aggressive into 2024. And it feels to me that TNA is vying for that number two spot with the hardcore fans. And I've watched TNA in the past. I'm pretty entertained by TNA. I don't always follow all the storylines, but I'm pretty entertained by TNA. TNA is this interesting amalgamation of like what I feel they have WWE like storylines and they have AEW like good wrestling skills, and they find a way to merge the two. So like on paper, TNA should be really good, except they don't really have a TV deal. That's like the one thing they're missing. You got the streaming service, you got the figs. They just need a solid TV deal, which is really hard to do when you have WWE and AEW kind of taking up that space. Who's going to want to shell out money for them? And I honestly hope they do. I think competition is great for the pro wrestling world, and a TNA AEW kind of media rivalry, I think, is good because I think it elevates both of them. And let's be clear, nothing's going to take out WWE. WWE is essentially like pretty much over like Rover. They are almost too big to fail. I forgot what the term was, but it's something with like elasticity. I learned it in like micro like years ago at this point, but they're like a Facebook. They're kind of too big to fail. No matter how good or bad it is, WWE is always going to make money and you're not going to overtop that. But I'm interested to see how big of a push TNA and AEW TNA makes for getting that number two American promotion from AEW. Because I think they might be able to do it. And let's be clear, you know, the AEW, I think in its infantile couple of years, did have a little bit of a running, working relationship with Impact at the time, or TNA, and it didn't really work out well. let's be honest, it didn't work out well for TNA at all. Maybe it worked well for AEW and people because they were kind of running roughshod, but it didn't work well for Impact slash TNA. So I like Red TNA as being a little bit more on the aggressive and getting some deals done, action figures, streaming service. They can get a legit TV deal. This could be a force to be reckoned with. So definitely be on the lookout for TNA in the new year. And whoever the hell that they said is going to show up at their Hard to Kill weekend, I'm still very fascinated by that. Again, it could be anybody, and that is the scary part. And depending on who it is, will probably be a huge indicator of how TNA is going to look and how TNA is going to be looked at by all of us, the wrestling podcast community, and just the wrestling world as a whole. So good luck to TNA. Moving on, in probably, if you're watching this, in probably the hottest mugshot that anybody in the pro wrestling world has ever seen, Liv Morgan, unfortunately, was pulled over in Florida over the weekend on possession of marijuana, under 20 grams, drug paraphernalia, and I think cannabinoid of some sort, which is like a synthetic marijuana. I think the biggest shock to everybody who read this and obviously has been Googling over this photo, and if WWE has done it before, this mugshot would sell like hotcakes. I'm telling you right now. I think the biggest surprise here is that she got pulled over for drugs. I mean, this is LOL Florida. Pulled over for weed. And people are like, really? Weed? Which is very surprising. The report that came out from this arrest was that she was driving somewhat erratically, which forced them to pull her over. And that's when they found whatever the drug paraphernalia was and the cannabinoid and the weed that was under 20 grams, which actually really isn't that much. I don't know for sure, and I haven't even checked WWE sources. I haven't seen anything commented on it. But I believe this will probably be a wellness violation for her. If they have not implemented it already, they will probably soon. And if it's her first wellness policy violation, Liv Morgan will be out of action for 30 days. Which if they have started her, if they have started her suspension already, she'll be back by the Rumble. So this is a very blink and you'll miss it thing. I'm interested to see what they do with this information because it spread like wildfire, especially this mugshot. It's a great mugshot, I'm not going to lie. I'm interested to see what WWE does with this information now that it's pretty much public knowledge. If they play it into her return, because she's going to come back. She was out with injury. This is just going to delay her a little bit more, but she will be back. Her wellness policy violation will be over by the time of the Rumble. And I expect Liv Morgan to show up in the Women's Rumble as if it was probably going to be the plan anyways for her. Regardless, this seems to be a bump in the road, but it's a very minor bump in the road. Liv Morgan will be back and should be no worries by anybody. The erratic driving is concerning. I will tell you that. The erratic driving is a point of concern for me because you obviously have someone's health and safety on the line, and that was one of the things that popped out in the report. So that is something to kind of be a little bit of a cause for concern. But again, I'm interested to see how WWE handles this moving forward after I'm assuming her wellness policy violation is served for that. So expect Liv Morgan to be back by at the latest February. But I think she's making the Rumble. Now let's go to some ROH news, some Ring of Honor news. The other thing that Tony Khan owns, but we kind of laud, but he kind of does nothing with. So Ring of Honor had Final Battle, which historically is what they've had at the end of every year, ever since Ring of Honor was a thing. Ring of Honor had Final Battle. I heard it was pretty decent. A lot of good matches going on, but the thing with Ring of Honor is we don't know about it. And if TNA is going to overtake anybody, they've easily overtaken Ring of Honor by leaps and bounds. But news came out during Ring of Honor Final Battle that Tony Khan was there to make, surprise, surprise, an announcement. And the announcement was that he is adding a secondary women's title to a roster of women that I think is very minimal at best, not in talent, but in, you know, number of women that are on the roster. So the secondary women's title is going to be called the Ring of Honor Women's Television Championship. Now, if you let that sink in, and let that sink in for you, please. One might think, how can you have a women's television title? How can you have a men's television title of Ring of Honor, which they have both of now? How do you have a TV title with no TV deal, with no TV show? How do you do that? The one way they've done it before with Samoa Joe, aka the King of TV, they put Samoa Joe on AEW Dynamite with a television championship, which I guess is great, but it's bad because the Ring of Honor television championship, whether it be men or women, gender notwithstanding, should be on Ring of Honor TV. The TV title needs to be on your brand's TV show that Ring of Honor doesn't have. This also makes another belt within the AEW Ring of Honor conglomerate. Pretty much it's just AEW, with Ring of Honor being some sort of, I guess, developmental or something organization. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Ring of Honor. I'll be completely honest. You can't find them anywhere. I haven't been a member of Honor Club in years. And why would I at this point? And like I said, there's great talent in Ring of Honor, but they're not exposed. At least Impact is kind of exposed in some ways or form. Like, I know where to find them. I have no way of finding Ring of Honor, especially on cable, which is sad. Because Ring of Honor was at a time, essentially, but a top three promotion in the U.S. And now it's relegated to who the hell knows what it is, to be honest with you. And again, this just creates another belt that's being circulation AEW/Ring of Honor. For what? Are we even ever going to see the Ring of Honor TV champion? And if so, they need to be on their own show. I'm tired of Ring of Honor champions showing up on Dynamite and then for what? To do nothing with them. At least, because I know somebody's going to listen to this and be like, well, NXT titles show up on Raw, particularly Raw and sometimes SmackDown. But yeah, but guess what? They go back to NXT. They're not there. They're not part of a storyline for Raw or SmackDown. They're a storyline for NXT. Like when Becky Lynch won the NXT championship, yes, she was defending on Raw at the time, but she went and did a program in NXT and was a highlight of an NXT premium live event. There's the difference. You can see NXT TV, and they put the NXT titles and the North American stuff on there to get more people to watch NXT. But guess what? You could still see those main storylines on NXT. If you have a Ring of Honor champion on AEW TV, and you're like, oh, this is Ring of Honor champion, what's Ring of Honor about? Where can I find them? You're not going to find them. They're behind a paywall. That's the big difference. You can easily get NXT, and NXT is going to be more accessible going into October of next year when they move over when they move over to their new television, to the CW, sorry. When they move over to the CW, which is pretty much on 100% of households everywhere, they're going to be more accessible than they were, and Ring of Honor is still going to be lacking behind. So the Ring of Honor television title, I will admit, it does look nice. It looks really good. It looks kind of – I hate that I'm saying this. It does kind of look like the original AEW women's title, and they just kind of rebranded it in size. It's a little bit bigger than the original one, but it kind of looks like it's kind of like, as I'm examining this and I'm looking at it, if you're watching me on video, it looks very much like that, which is concerning, which is very very concerning. But I don't know. I shake my head sometimes with this with these decisions. So, good luck to it all. Sometimes I wish Ring of Honor would have just been on their own, but they were in dire straits. I had to be bought by somebody. It upsets me that Tony Khan and Powers That Be bought this with as great of a library as Ring of Honor has, and they have an amazing library, and they've done relatively nothing with it in the grand scheme of things. It's a shame. It really is, and I'll leave it at that. On to our final topic, and the thing that's actually revolving any sort of wrestling going on this week. Roman came back, probably for his final appearance of the year as well, but he came back. He pretty much said that Solo is the next in line whenever Roman hangs it up, much to the behest of Jimmy, and Jimmy has to earn his way. And Randy, obviously Mike checked him, talking about he wants a match with Roman, blah blah blah, and Randy initiated the Legend Killer gimmick. The Legend Killer Randy is coming back. He called Roman a legend, and Randy said, "Well, I am the Legend Killer." And what a perfect Royal Rumble spot for Randy and Roman. You have Legend Killer Randy. You have Roman Reigns. LOL, Roman is probably going to win this. But the build to Randy being this babyface Legend Killer, this gimmick that we've all loved to hate, but now we're going to love it even more because it's nostalgia, because it's Randy. He is forever over. Jey Uso is going to get punted. I believe the punt is coming back. Jimmy Uso is going to get punted. I think it's going to be a fantastic setup for Royal Rumble. Randy Roman Rumble, kind of the alliteration kind of rolls off your tongue. I am very excited for this. Even though Roman was here for essentially a one-off for the next couple of weeks, Roman, I think, will be in full force from January all the way leading through Mania, which I foresee a potential end to his reign. Roman's going across some pretty crazy milestones right now, and he's going to main event another WrestleMania, and I think this might be a pretty monumental one, it being WrestleMania 40 and everything like that. But going up against Randy and maybe potentially beating the Legend Killer at the Rumble is a great start to the year for WWE. Roman and Randy, obviously AEW's ending their year with MJF and Samoa Joe on Long Island, actually, which I probably not going to, but I'll consider it. So it's all good. It's all good. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's pretty short this week, but this concludes Kings of the Rings podcast for the year. We are nominated for Best Wrestling Podcast in the Sports Podcast Awards by the Sports Industry Group. And that is a huge honor. What a way to end the year. Thank you guys all for being a part of this show for as long as you have. Again, my name is King Ricky Rose. You can find me on Ambassador Base across all social media outlets whenever I decide to return, which will probably be in like 2 or 3 weeks from now. BIGZ and Ambassador Base. Find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast across all social media outlets. Like, share, subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews wherever you listen to us on all your favorite podcast platforms. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, please like, share, subscribe, and also, more importantly, make sure you cast your vote for us in the Sports Podcast Awards for Best Wrestling Podcast. We are obviously a part of Wrestle Addict Radio, and I cannot be remiss by shouting out all of our great members and great shows of Wrestle Addict Radio, including us, Kings of the Rings Podcast, the Young Lions Perspective Podcast, which is on hiatus, but will be returning soon. The Brace for Impact podcast and the Fretzelmania podcast. We would not be as strong as we are without all of them contributing to us and us contributing to them and creating the brand that is Wrestle Addict Radio. If you're listening to us, make sure you're listening to us on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Find Wrestle Addict Radio socials on @addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. You can find us on socials again. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of this fantastic award-nominating year, which I still cannot believe it. I'm very, very happy. It's a win that I think I solely needed out of this year. When we come back next year, We're going to get ready to rumble. We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of things are going to start to unfold. A lot of free agents are about to become free agents. A lot of people are going to start getting signed and popping up in different places. Very exciting year going into 2024. It's a WrestleMania year for myself. I'll be returning to WrestleMania. And hopefully we might have some awards come our way as well. So please, please do not forget to vote. Happy holidays. Enjoy your new year. Be safe. Text people that you love, tell them you love them and all that stuff. Be safe, be healthy, and goodbye. Good night. We'll see you soon. You better go out and vote, damn it. Even you, Slack. Fuck you, Slack. We'll see you next year.
This has been a Wrestle Attic Radio branded podcast.